for your own safety.
You're not going crazy, Arthur. You're going sane in a crazy world.
Good news, everyone. I'm sending you on an extremely controversial mission.
Controversial?
Oh my, no.
You don't have a reflection.
Are you a vampire?
Am I a vampire?
It certainly is not every day that a man attains the exalted position of temporary honorary colonel. I thank you.
Welcome to Mr. Sledge's Neighborhood, the mostly weekly podcast by the Court of Nerds that brings news, reviews, and topics from the world of geekdom. The views expressed in this podcast are solely that of Kevin and not that of the Court of Nerds at large, and is meant for entertainment purposes only. Now your host for this misadventure, Mr. Sledge.
Hello everyone, this is episode 20 of Mr. Sledge's Neighborhood, and I'm surprised as you that this little audio venture keeps going. I suppose the rest of the court could just change the logins to stop this from happening, but nobody in the 21st century has time to learn a new password. Anyway, each week I will begin with the intro you just heard, as a means to save some time publishing this podcast in the back end. Don't worry, the audio drops and advertisements will still happen, though. Speaking of which, this week's sponsor is Bubble Tape.
It's the truth!
Anybody starting their sales pitch by stating the following is the truth should be hawking something better than chewing gum.
Your principal can't smile, can't swim, can't rap.
I mean, that's all principals. Sadly, that was accurate, too.
Won't try bubble tape!
No way, Jose!
Bubble tape! It's 6 feet of bubble gum for you, not them.
My mistake. Everything they did just say was true.
And now, the news!
And why didn't we think of this before news? This summer I took my son to the Submarine Library and Museum in Groton, Connecticut, the center of submarine production in the United States and resting place for the USS Nautilus, the world's first nuclear submarine. One of the things you never truly appreciate is how much everything had to be specifically engineered for a single purpose, from the grill on the counter for the cook to the knobs on the sinks. It's amazing and expensive. Because these items are so specialized that the manufacturers can charge Uncle Sam a hefty fee. Probably why so many engineers live out here. But it's the 21st century. We are surrounded by multitudes of consumer technological wonders. What if the Navy incorporated some of that? Case in point, the Lockheed Martin developed periscope joystick cost taxpayers $38,000 a piece. That joystick is heavy, clunky, and it takes hours to train a sailor to use it. Then the military contractor decided to do a test and hooked an Xbox 360 controller to the periscope, and eureka! Sailors understood how to use it and were proficient in minutes. See, unlike periscopes in movies, wherein a single person has to peer through an eyepiece, the high-tech version of the instrument uses high-resolution cameras and display images on big screens. Classic optics no longer matter. The Pentagon is set to buy Xbox controllers en masse in the future, and the military will end up using them to control laser weapons and other equipment. In fact, the U.S. Navy will begin stocking its modernized Virginia-class submarines with them, starting with the USS Colorado. That's expected to be commissioned in November. Sailors aboard this high-tech submarine will use the Xbox controller to maneuver its periscope. And the controller costs $30 retail! Which means I'm sure the Pentagon will figure out a way to pay $100 per controller.
The multiple language translator device will instantaneously translate any language into any other.
Just flick this switch and turn this dial to the desired language.
Sorry I'm late. There was an emergency with the dough-based projectile ventilation targeting system. Please, continue.
Phil, who speaks fluent German, will now speak into the device, which will translate what he says into English.
Hello! I am your friend.
haben. Do not be afraid. It's me, Phil.
Also, ich glaube, diese Stimme wird nicht gehen.
I thought you guys were working on the voice.
We were, and we made it more awesome.
Who wouldn't want to sound like a 90-foot robot, you know?
Our ships are hovering above all your cities.
And I can't believe I heard about it in this way news. I was scrolling through Twitter while I was doing the dishes. Sure, let's go with that. And I saw Aaron Debsky Bowden, New York Times bestselling author and occasional comics writer, posted a simple tweet, quote, HH meeting next week. The last HH meeting, in fact, end quote. Then he quotes Lori Golding, who said, quote, Holy Terror calls out, demanding an ending. Holy Terror calls, and the High Lords answer, end quote. Holy shit! After 50 books and about twice as many short stories and audio dramas, we're getting an ending? The fall of the Emperor and the beginning of the Long War is upon us. Which was already the case. In fact, that's better documented than the Crusade, but never mind that. It's going to end! I can't believe it! Seriously, I can't believe it. This seems counterintuitive to GW's desire to make money. I'm so confused by all this. Let alone, I had to learn about it in the most pedestrian of ways. I mean, at least Dan Abnett is releasing another Eisenhorn book soon.
Do you dream, Cerberus?
A dream.
Of what?
A dream of my brothers.
Who are they? The brothers in your dreams. Who are they?
The dead.
I cannot dream. Ever since the Imperium changed me, I have not dreamed. I can remember it, though, what it was like, and so forth.
Luther nodded, and Loken felt a jolt of surprise. There was understanding in Luther's eyes. Understanding and pity.
This is not the first time you've been left to fate. I can see it in your manner.
And we knew this would eventually happen, news. Battleborn is Battle Dead. The Gearbox developed MOBA that came out at the same time as Blizzard's MOBA, Overwatch, is no longer updating. Just over 16 months after that launch, Battleborn's upcoming fall update will be the last bit of new content for this game. While creative director Randy Varnell promises in a blog post that, quote, servers will be up and active for the foreseeable future, end quote, he hinted that the company's resources are being refocused on a, quote, highly anticipated but unannounced project, end quote. Well, that probably refers to the still unconfirmed Borderlands 3, which Gearbox Randy Pitchford teased at PAX West by saying that 90% of the studio is, quote, working on the thing I think most of you guys want us to be working on, end quote. While Battleborn averaged thousands of players on Steam just after its launch in May, according to the data from Steam Charters, players' interest quickly dropped off to the point where the game just peaked at 150 simultaneous Steam players last month. Gearbox also tried to renew interest with a couple of major content updates and a gameplay tweak, and even experimented with free-to-play model for the time in June. But it hasn't been enough, and a critical mass of players haven't come back to the game. Well, I'm sad to see the end of what was essentially a good game. Not a great game, I mean, Overwatch is a great game. Randy Pitchford has the right idea. I've missed Claptrap.
Shooting something like this, you gotta be organic. Sometimes your actors explode, and worse, sometimes they don't. Gotta be creative. Quiet on the set! This is live! We're doing it live! Hey, you brought this upon yourself! It can't all be hookers and sunshine! Action! Yeah! Yeah! So who's Tony Romo now, motherfucker? Uprights!
Hello.
In... I know I said I was going to review a beer this week, but I drank all the beer I wanted to review, and it doesn't seem right to not have it in my hand while I'm reviewing it, so I'm going to review a board game instead. Reviews... Grab your sweatbands and tight roll your jeans because we're heading back to the 80s with Greater Than Games' newest retro board game, Laser Riders. That's Riders with a Y, in case you didn't know. So if you have one, two, three people, whoever wanted to pretend you were driving Tron's light cycles but didn't want to leave the table at which you were sitting, you're in luck because that's almost exactly what Light Riders is. The core mechanic of the game involves players trying to race over and collect prisms on the board. As players move, they leave behind a laser trail, which can cause other players to crash. If you touch a laser trail, even your own, you crash and must respawn back at the starting location. The basics of driving your laser rider are that you set your speed in a turn. It's 1 to 5 scale. So if you want to make a turn, you have to roll higher than the number of your speed to successfully complete the turn. Otherwise, you'll go straight. However, turning also runs the risk of causing you to spin out. If you roll a 6, then you'll turn, but your speed drops to 1. If you crash in laser trail, your entire laser trail is removed from the board. Also, the section you crashed into and all previous sections are also removed. The only places that you can cross are at the prisms on the board. And you just because you take one doesn't mean that it can't be stolen later. The first player to score 3 prisms wins. And if you have a handsome display case for your board games, shut up, it's a thing, you'll love the box that this game comes in. It looks like a big sleeve full of VHS tapes, and it looks like it's straight from the 80s. The color palette looks like heavy metal strapped on some Ocean Pacific and LA Gears. That said, even if you aren't a fan of the 80s, the game is surprisingly satisfying and easy to learn. The movement is intuitive and rewarding. There's nothing quite like zooming past your friends and entrapping them in a laser trail. The core set comes with rules and 4 Laser Rider characters to play. Each has their own special ability, too. You don't have to use it, but you can. Laser Riders is a ton of fun, and in stores now. So what are you waiting for? The light show is about to start.
Get them. Send out every game tank in the grid. Get them!
It's been a while since I spinned you, Wheel of Insanity. Welcome home. It says, talk about the European Commission's fine of Google. Damn. Okay, I've actually been meaning to talk about this for a month now, and I just haven't gotten around to it. Back in late June, Google received a hefty fine from the EU in an antitrust case. Hefty to the tune of 2.34 billion euros, which is about $2.9 billion at current exchange. This story sparked a flurry of stories trying to explain why Google has found them in this spot, including a rather good one from NPR's Planet Money, but none that I found really getting at the heart of the true issue as to why the European Commission found Google guilty of running an illegal monopoly. There is a reason why I say illegal monopoly, but I'll get into that later. Some important things to note here. This isn't the first time the EU has levied huge fines against US companies. Intel, IBM, and Microsoft have all been here and have helped set the EU's legal precedent. In fact, Google just appealed the decision last Monday, hoping its chances of success will be boosted by Intel's partial victory from the previous week against another EU sanction. So, what is the claim? The EU Commission has found Google systematically favored its own shopping services and demoted those of its rivals in how search results are displayed online. That is their case. Now I know what you're saying. Duh! That they did this isn't in dispute. You might also be saying Google has the right to promote their own products on their own search engine. That is essentially what is in dispute. Let me back up a little bit. Remember back when Google was just a Boolean search engine? There were no ads, no promoted sites, it just searched the most relevant URLs for the topic you put in. No? Because believe it or not, it existed. It was the time of AltaVista, Yahoo, and Ask Jeeves, a time when internet searches basically sucked. Then Google came out, and it worked. It worked so well, it functionally eliminated the competition with its patented search. Now, before Amazon and Alibaba had taken over the online retail space, it was a wild, wild west still. Those companies that popped up on the top of Google search ended up growing fast and making more money than they could have ever dreamed. They did what companies do, expand. They became dependent upon Google search results. Then something happened. Google allowed ads and promoted pages. You could pay to be on top. They also decided that, you know, while we're at it, to sell their own stuff on the top too. And just like that, billions of euros cried out in an instant and were silenced. And a new future was born. But the European Commission heard their cries and rejoiced. Their lawyers have been successfully bringing antitrust cases against US companies for so long that it has become part of the Silicon Valley's budget expenses. They claimed that Google had an obligation to use their original search algorithm, on which several companies became dependent on, and not change it unless there was some kind of user agreement, which never occurred. Never mind the fact that such a thing might have been unfeasible. Google gave themselves a monopoly, and it hurt European businesses, so they have levied the biggest fine in the history of the world. To that I say, you fucking hurt your own businesses. This has been your game, EU. Find a successful software or computer company and find the hell out of them because you can't fucking compete. You fell behind and you are butthurt. There was a time in the 70s and 80s where Europe was at the forefront of computing and software technology. Remember IRC? It was created by a Finnish guy. In fact, a large amount of Scandinavians helped make the internet what it is today. But that was the past. After the Soviet Union fell, the U.S. information technology sector grew and grew and pulled talent from all over the world. The EU had a brain drain. To make things worse, personal computers were an anathema to the average European all the way up until the mid-2000s. They were considered a luxury item. They were expensive due to import fees and lack of continental production. Most EU states didn't train their students in computing until the late 90s. As an American wandering around Europe in the early 2000s, it blew my mind about the lack of even typing ability the average citizen had, even in France, the UK, and Ireland. Okay, maybe Ireland was expected. People stood in awe of my laptop that I carried around, wondering why I needed a personal computer as a student when the internet cafes were popping up all over the place. Remember the early days of the MP3, when Napster was a thing? Well, so was Winamp. Back in 1997, Dmitry Boldyev released this media player to the world, and it was amazing. Heads and tails better than Windows Media Player. But Microsoft learned, saw the features Winamp offered, and slowly improved Windows Media Player to not only be a competitor, but something that was free with Windows, much like Internet Explorer. The European Commission didn't care much for that either, and told Microsoft that they had to sell their Internet Explorer and Windows Media Player separately. They couldn't be included in the OS. They then fined the shit out of them for, you guessed it, antitrust reasons. Same thing happened with Google. The EU is trying to give their companies more of an even footing. I mean, what's wrong with that? I don't know, maybe ask Boeing about Airbus and Bombardier? Maybe ask the telecoms about Vodafone. The EU is fine with monopolies as long as they are European monopolies. This is a subtle trade war and has been going on for years. It hasn't paid the dividends they had originally hoped. In fact, the reason the EU has caught up largely is due to the US stuttering due to its infrastructure issues, a problem of our own making. In conclusion, did Google do what the European Commission claims they did? Yes, they did. Is what they did illegal in the EU? Mostly likely, because that's how they designed it. Is this going to help the poor mom-and-pop companies that went bankrupt when Google did this? No! Google will either offer an EU algorithm without promoting their products, could be, but otherwise they will keep getting fines, change their business model worldwide, or win on appeal by paying a fine and not having to change their practice at all. This is what Google wants. The lesson here: if you can't beat them, sue the fuck out of them.
I play Monopoly with my kids. That's really fun. My 9-year-old, she can totally do Monopoly. The 6-year-old actually totally gets how the game works, but she's not emotionally developed enough to handle her inevitable loss in every game of Monopoly. Because a Monopoly loss is dark. It's heavy. It's not only when you lose at, you know, Candyland. Oh, you got stuck in the fudgy thing, baby. Oh, well, you're in the gummy twirlios and you didn't get to win. But when she loses at Monopoly, I got to look at her little face and I go, okay, so here's what's going to happen now, okay? All your property, everything you have, all the railroads, your houses, all your money, that's mine now. Got to give it all to me. Give it to me. That's right. And no, you can't play anymore, see, because even though you're giving me all of that, it doesn't even touch how much you owe me. Doesn't even touch it, baby. You're going down hard. It's really bad. All you've been working for all day, I'm going to take it now. and I'm going to use it to destroy your sister. I mean, I'm going to ruin her. She's just mayhem on this board for her now.
Thanks for listening to Mr. Sledge's Neighborhood this week. Grand Rapids Comic Con is only a month away. Buy your tickets now and you can come heckle me while I attempt to act like a professional. I'm Kevin from the Court Nerd saying, I can picture a world in my mind without war, a world without hate. I can picture in my mind us attacking that world because they would never see it coming. Bye!